Tēnā koutou katoa. Morning everyone and welcome to our service of worship here at Wesley Wellington this morning. Welcome to any visitors we have with us today. Special thanks to Whawhetai for leading our service this morning. Just going to lead us through our safety briefing before we get underway today. In the case of a fire, should the fire alarm sound, please walk out quickly through the exit doors, either at the back side or rear. Back side or front of the church here. And move quickly to the assembly point in the car park. Don't assume it's a drill. Call 111 and report the location and type of the emergency. Remain at the assembly point until instructed otherwise. Do not get into your car and drive off, as there will be people assembled in the car park, and do not block any fire exit areas. As you may have felt this morning, there was a small earthquake, so we do have these are a regular occurrence in Wellington, so if an earthquake does occur, drop cover and hold on. Evacuate the building once the shaking has stopped. In case of a large earthquake, expect a tsunami and proceed immediately up to Pukeahu National War Memorial Park at the top of Taranaki Street, and do not stop to grab your belongings. For children's safety, parents are responsible for the safety of their children at all times, and children must be supervised by a responsible adult at all times. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. I have a friend, he's a minister, and he said to me, you know what, when you wake up in the morning, it's a miracle. So it is a miracle that we are up and we're here in church. So every day when we wake up, it's a miracle that we are alive. All right. I bring greetings from St. Mark's in our HCUC congregation. So greetings to you all. We have a hymn that I've just been told by the Colin that, what's it called? A New Commandment. So the two last lines are meant to be repeated. The two last lines, yes, of A New Commandment. That hymn. Okay, so that's that. And also at the back there are some pens and paper. I've just asked that everyone just write the word disciples and what each letter represents for you, the word disciple. And we'll collect that up in time for Young Moments or Children's Talk. Thank you. We will continue our service by following our order of service, our call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Blessed is he comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let us sing our first hymn in this familiar place. Adoration and confession. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, you are our yesterday, our today, and our tomorrow. We adore and praise you. We thank you, our ever-living God, for your love and faithfulness by which you redeem the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, our hope, today we joyfully acclaim Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Saviour. Even as the Alleluia echoes in our ears, we acknowledge before you the times we have been reluctant to walk in your way. We confess that we have resisted your call to live in community as servants of one another. Our hearts and our wills need your cleansing and restoration. O Lord of glory, form in us the humility and patience, the kindness and suffering love that reflect your glory. Then shall the world know that you are our God and we are your people. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and say the words of assurance together. Our hope is in God. He calls us, healing our brokenness and making us whole. Whether we are lost or confused, wandering or waiting, God's love is steadfast, faithless or doubting, disobedient or distraught. God is ever present to us. Weary or dismay, we are held in God's sustaining, nurturing love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Right. I know there's no children. But I think I've said it before, when I'm not preaching or taking a service, I love children's time. And that's why I call it young moments, because we're all young.
So we want to have a moment. This morning I just want to talk about the word disciple. Like, I've given the pieces of paper out, so for you to write down what each letter of the word disciple means for you, or what it is for you. But this is what I think disciple is. So I've got D for devoted, I for involved, S for spirit, C for Christ, I for invites, and P for praise, and L for loves, and C for encourages. And so, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, that's Jesus' commandment. And so, devoted, as I have there, stands for devoted to Christ. A disciple doesn't walk away from his brothers and sisters. He loves them no matter what. So that's what a devoted to Christ person would do, or a disciple. Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in all disciples. He keeps us full of peace. The Spirit guides us, tells us what is the right thing to do. I'm sure you all agree with me. C, Christ. Christ is the center. Center, no matter what. Jesus is the center to everything. And that's for a disciple. Jesus is the center. Invites others to meet Jesus, of course. A true disciple of Jesus invites others to meet Jesus. How can we invite others to meet Jesus? Tell them the story of Jesus and that Jesus loves them. Just like he loves us, he loves them just the same, no matter what. Praise. Praise for other disciples that's love through and through. We as disciples pray for one another. When Jesus was on earth, he always prayed for his disciples. Yeah? Yes, he did. Even if they were asleep, he still prayed for them. Loves at all times, even when it is hard to do so. A disciple loves other disciples. And then encourages other disciples. If you follow Jesus, you must be an encourager. We help each other to achieve their goals, and we don't put them down. We encourage one another. So that's what that is all about. And what you guys have written down. And we'll pop it in here to remind us what being a disciple is. Thank you.
Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Thank you.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I had said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Thanks be to God.
Sermon in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Where love comes from. A group of boys and girls aged 4 to 8 was asked, "What does love mean?" Here are some of their answers. "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out smelling each other." That was from a 5-year-old boy. "Love is when you kiss all the time, then when you get tired of kissing, you still want to be together and you talk more. My mummy and daddy are like that. They look gross when they kiss," from an 8-year-old girl. "Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, then he wears it every day," from an 7-year-old. "Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well," 6-year-old. "During my piano recital, I was on stage and I was scared. I looked at all the people watching me and saw my daddy waving and smiling. He was the only one that was doing that. I wasn't scared anymore." That was from an 8-year-old girl. "Love is when mummy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Brad Pitt." Chris, who is age 7. "You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget." That was from Jessica, she's only 8. "There are 2 kinds of love. Our love, God's love. But God makes both kinds of love." That was from Jenny, she's only 8. I like that. "God makes both kinds of love." A community in Florida was hit by a hurricane. The power was out, houses were flooded, and roads were closed. At the Red Cross Center at the local middle school, a distraught African-American woman asked tearfully for 6 flashlight batteries. "My kids are afraid of the dark," she explained. "Sorry," came the answer, "only 2 batteries to a family. However, if you have relatives living with you, you can have 2 more for each one." The woman just stood there, paralyzed, feeling helpless, when Ryan Abel, who is white, piped up. "I'm a relative," he said. "So am I," announced a young Chinese girl behind. The Red Cross worker handed the woman 6 batteries with a smile. When Jesus was preparing his disciples for the time when he would no longer be with them, he said to them, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." No passage in Scripture can be clearer than this. Christians are to be known by their love. This is our primary witness in the world. As Christ had loved us, so we are to love one another. I believe that deep down we all know that, but sometimes we forget. There are many people in the world who simply don't know how to love. That's because they have never really been loved themselves. Dr. William tells about a friend who spent much of his time, his life, in an orphanage. His mother took him there as a little boy. She let him out of the car under a big cedar tree and told him she would return that afternoon. She never did return. William's friend is now middle-aged. One day, William was to meet his friend for lunch, and William was late. When he arrived, only about 15 minutes late, he found his friend in a state of high agitation, pacing about, perspiring heavily, visibly upset. It seemed an overreaction to 15 minutes of lateness. Later, this friend of said to William, "I just can't help it. I know why I get so bent out of shape when a friend is late. My mother kept me waiting under the tree at the orphanage all afternoon, and she never, ever returned. I just can't stand for someone I love to be late." He was now all grown up, says William, on his own, functioning quite well, but he still has scars. There are some people who don't know how to love because they have never been loved. A man tells about a man whose life seemed doomed from the start. He had been born to a dominating, unloving mother who worked long hours and often left him at home alone. The neighborhood children also rejected him. He was a small and unattractive child. He failed in school and eventually dropped out. In spite of high IQ, he went into Marines, but the other Marines rejected him and even laughed at him. He had no discipline, and he didn't know how to respond to authority. He was soon court-martialed and discharged from the armed service. He moved to another country, hoping to get a fresh start. He married a young woman who also came from a difficult family situation. She belittled him. He was an object of contempt in her eyes. Nothing he did would satisfy her. The two of them returned to America. He tried everything to win her respect, but never succeeded. So one day, this man went to work at his job in a book storage building. He took a gun with him. The rest, as they say, is history. This man was Lee Harvey Oswald, the man who assassinated President John Kennedy. Rejection is a terrible thing, isn't it? And it manifests itself in many ways. Many people have scars. The only way those scars will ever heal when they know someone loves them. That is why we must forever proclaim God's love. God loves us, even if the world rejects us. Only when we understand that are we able to love others. We love because God first loved. That's the good news. Frederick wrote a book, Many Things in Parables. He says that when his wife became pregnant with their first child, he discovered that he strongly wanted a son. Growing up, he had two sisters and no brothers. He badly wanted to have a brother. Now he wanted to have a son, and he did. Benjamin was born. And Paul says that all his parental heart went out to Benjamin with more love than he ever knew he had inside of him. This presented him with a dilemma when 2 years later his wife became pregnant again. How was he going to hide from his second child the fact that he could never love it as much as he loved Benjamin? Somehow, his notion of love was that it was like a pie. The more people that came to share it, the smaller the slice had to be. Then, as though to make matters worse, his wife delivered twins. But then something miraculous happened. Suddenly, Paul discovered he loved Matthew and Stuart with the same love which he loved Benjamin, without taking any love away from Benjamin. This is a strange new arithmetic, says Paul. The pie seemed to have become bigger than ever. Imagine how big God's pie is. Imagine how enormous God's love is. Limitless. We are loved by one with an infinite capacity for love. We love because God first loved us. God's love creates within us the capacity to love others. Love doesn't develop in a vacuum. We love when we know ourselves to be loved. Peter tells about a little boy named Jarek. Jarek was 4 years old, and Peter was performing the marriage ceremony of Jarek's mother, Danielle, to a man named Andy. Both Danielle and Andy had recently come to Christ. Jarek and Danielle, son from a former relationship. Jarek didn't know who his father was. He didn't really have a daddy. Jarek's skin was much darker than Andy's. So, of course, people could tell he was not Andy's boy. Jarek seemed to know that too. Out of his fear and anxiety, he was always restless and running about, never sitting still. When his duties were fulfilled as the ring bearer in the wedding, Jarek was all over the place. He wouldn't sit still. By this time they got to the vows, he was quarantined in the front of row with relatives on other sides holding him down. As Hayetz began to lead bride and groom, in the ring ceremony, with Jarek squirming and making noises, all at once, Andy stopped the ceremony.
Peter, he said, I have to say something. Andy turned around with everybody watching him. Jarek was still squirming in his seat. Andy said, Jarek, the boy froze. Jarek, Andy continued, I love you with all my heart, and I will always be your daddy, and you will always be my son. Something remarkable happened. The boy got still. He did not move the rest of the service. Jarek was about to discover what it means to be loved. Love creates the capacity for more love. Love doesn't develop in a vacuum. People who have experienced love and able to pass that love to one another. The reason there are so many angry, unloving people in the world is that so many people have never experienced true unconditional love. I am convinced there are many good people in church who have never experienced unconditional love. Some of us were brought up by well-meaning parents who, without really being conscious of it, put conditions on their love. I love you when you're good, was their basic message. I love you when you're obedient. That was the subtle message many of us received. I love you if you make me proud. Our parents may not have meant those conditional messages to take hold, but they did. And so many of us grew up with feelings of unworthiness, with the feelings that somehow we didn't measure up to our parents' expectations. And now we are passing those feelings to our children, perhaps to our spouses, and perhaps to others. Catherine Mansfield says she felt rejected as a child. Catherine grew up in New Zealand in the 1890s with four extremely attractive sisters. Catherine describes herself as fat and homely. She says that the contrast between her parents' relationship with her sisters and their relationship with her was painful. It filled with her resentment. In turn, she drew attention to herself, displaying of temper and marked contrast to her sisters, easy compliance. In a short story titled Juliet, she describes herself as moody, girl who was rejected by her family, the odd one out, the ugly duckling. Can anyone relate to her experience? There are many people who are unable to love because they have never been loved unconditionally themselves. They go through life acting out in many heartbreaking ways. The question, am I worthy to be loved? And when no satisfactory answer comes, they become unable to maintain healthy relationships. They have no capacity for love. No genuine love they can pass on to others. It is vitally important that you and I pass on God's love to people who have never known such love. This is our key task as followers of Jesus. As disciples, a new command I give unto you, Christ said. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love. love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. A pastor, Gary Smith, tells about a wonderful display of the kind of love in an NBA first round playoff. We normally don't associate the National Basketball Association with love, but here it is. The Portland Trail Blazers were playing the Dallas Mavericks in front of 20,000 people in Rose Garden Arena in Portland. At the beginning of the game, a local 13-year-old girl, Natalie, walked to the midcourts to sing the Star-Splendid Banner. Natalie did very well at the beginning, but somewhere around the twilight's last gleaming, her mind went blank, and she couldn't remember the next line. She closed her eyes, she shook her head, and was on the verge of tears. Suddenly, there was an arm around her. It was Morris, coach of the Trail Blazer, with his arms around Natalie, began singing the next line and invited the crowd to join in. Morris and 20,000 people made it all the way through to the home of the Brave. Who says we can't find love in an NBA? Here's what Christ's greatest dream is for each of us. Christ wants to build within each of us the capacity to love as he loves. Not conditional love that says, I'll love you if you prove worthy that love. But unconditional love, the kind of love that has given to us. We're thankful that Christ didn't wait until we were worthy. Neither should we wait until others are worthy. A Spiritual Life of Children, a book written by Robert, described what happened. He asked a group of children to draw pictures of God. Most of the pictures which they drew were God's face. Many of the children drew faces that looked like their own in terms of their hair colour, eye colour, skin colour, and this, of course, makes sense. But Coles was reminded of another way of imagining the face of God. He thought back to his days working in Dorothy's Day's Catholic worker soup kitchen. Dorothy Day was a great woman, Roman Catholic activist early in the 20th century, who devoted her life to working among the poor people. Cole says that one afternoon, several of the workers at the kitchen were forced to struggle with a wino, a bum, excuse my language, an angry, cursing man of 50 or so, with long grey hair, a full beard with huge scars on his face, and tattoos with bloodshot eyes. What did Dorothy Day have to say about this man? Eventually, she was thinking of the great passage in Hebrews about entertaining angels unaware. For she said, for all we know, he might be God. So, let's treat him as an honor guest and look at his face as if it is the most beautiful one we can imagine. Day could look into a wino's face and see the face of God. friends, sisters and brothers in Christ. That's unconditional love. Are you capable of such love? Am I capable? Are we? If not, then let's pray together that God will increase our capacity for love. Let's pray that God will help us to feel so loved in spite of our unworthiness that we will be able to pass on the love to others. A new command I give unto you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing a new commandment I give unto you. Amen. So we share the peace with one another. Peace of God be with you. And then we'll have our notices.
Just draw your attention to the green pages in the bulletin here. So we've got our upcoming rosters for the next few weeks there, so just to check through those. A few meetings coming up. We have a leaders meeting this coming Tuesday in the vestry at 7 p.m. Finance and resources on Thursday the 19th of May at 7 p.m. via Zoom. Parish council meeting on the 26th of May at 7 p.m. in the chapel, and our next cafe church service on the 29th of May in the new hall. On the back there, we have the upcoming Wesley Day celebration on May the 22nd, which is a combined service here at Wesley at 6 p.m. Of music and celebration, so everyone is invited to join us for that. The acknowledgement service for Carol Dale will take place on the 5th of June, Sunday, so following the combined service there will be a shared lunch. We will acknowledge and thank Carol for all her work here and her role as Parish Support Services Manager. If you'd like to support, purchase a delicious meal of chicken, vegetable, salad and kumara to help with our financial congregation finances. Lucy is doing those kindly for us. You can order those through her. $10 available on the 3rd of June. If you're able to help with the 10 a.m. rosters at all, please let Wendy know. You can email her or talk to her in person. We have the DCM Food Bank appeal coming up on the 28th of May. If you're able to help with that, please contact the office. If you haven't picked up your charitable donation receipts, those are in the blue basket at the rear of the church. Also, still looking for some volunteers for two important roles, parish treasurer and parish secretary. If you'd like to be in, to apply for either of those, you can contact Reverend Nicola or Reverend Utumau via their email. Any other notices people would like to share this morning? Okay, thank you.
Our intercessory prayer this morning is taken from Terry Feller's book, Be Our Freedom, Lord. And he's taken it from Jeremiah 22, verses 16. So to my bidding, hear us, O Lord. Would you please respond? We ask you to hear us, O Lord. Hear us, O Lord. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. Creator God, we ask that you forgive our preoccupation with belief rather than action, our involvement in the greed, compromise, and hardness of the world, our distress of those who talk with a strange accent or dress in unusual clothes. Hear us, O Lord. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. We ask that you will teach us to recognize the cries of those who are too weak to help themselves. Make us more sensitive to the problems and fears which lie at our door, and strengthen us to face with courage and determination whatever loss, inconvenience, or misunderstanding is needed to put things right. Hear us, O Lord. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. We ask that you will rescue our worship this day from trivial issues, narrow horizons, and superficial concerns, and cast down the false gods we have fashioned through prejudice, self-interest, fear, or wishful thinking. Hear us, O God. We ask you to hear us, O God. We ask that you will increase in us spontaneity, friendliness, and insight, so that in times of personal perplexity and difficulty, we may still, as a community, provide the focus for true wisdom, genuine understanding, and quiet optimism. Hear us, O Lord. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. We ask that you will strengthen us to do battle against unfair housing, unequal educational opportunities, and narrow sectarian loyalties, and enable us to be appreciative of the things we take for granted, perceptive towards the things we ignore, and fair towards the things against which we rebel. Hear us, O Lord. We ask you to hear us, O Lord. Amen. And now we'll sing the Lord's Prayer.
The Apostle Paul urges all disciples of Jesus to work together for the good of all. With that encouragement in mind, let us offer to God our gifts so that God may use them in us for the good of all. We'll say the dedication prayer together. Oh, sorry, I thought they weren't coming up. Sorry. Before we sing our final hymn, I'd just like to thank those who participated in our service this morning with the reading, the music, the prayers. Thank you. And thank you all for being here today in the house of God. Let us conclude by singing our final hymn, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Peace, to love and serve the Lord and one another. For you go with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
in the presence of the Holy Spirit.